full name?
Danny Hebb.
You have a middle initial?
Yeah, F. Frank.
Frank.
Yeah.
I met your dad one day down there.
My uncle
probably. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What's his name?
First name. Russ. Russell.
And his wife?
Ira. I call her aunt. She used to cook out there at school when I was in grade school, and you know, we were in school and they wouldn't let us call them by the first name, and there she was, my aunt, and I had to call her Mrs. Hebb. Got lost track.
Natural. Who's your dad?
Charlie Hebb.
And your granddad?
Elwood. That's he and Russell are brothers.
But this was your great-granddad's place out here?
Yeah.
What was his name?
Burley, yeah.
He must have farmed his whole hillside, did he?
Well, I don't know. He worked in a mine. See, they was originally from up in Benbush. They was coal miners, and they moved down in here. And my Uncle Russ, that's where he stayed up there. He came down here and lived and grew up a little bit, but he originally from up in Baird, and they... mine coal up in there.
And you work in the mines now?
No, I work West Virginia Power.
Up the power plant?
Yeah.
Up what, Mount Storm?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're an electrician?
Just TA electrician. It's just temporary assignment, a labor, but they TA you so much. Like we get outages and stuff are going on, you get TA for them.
How long have you worked there?
2 years and... about 5 or 6 months, I believe. I used to work construction for Armstrong for that.
Uh-huh. Well, at first, I guess I heard about the experience you went through probably from Hank.
Thompson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you remember best about that? Had it been raining all that week?
Well, I was at work that day, and I had to take a road trip. They take laborers and send them if they got errands to run or something to pick up in places. They take us out and send us on the road for road trips. And I had to go to Oakland for a road trip pick up the paper. And when I went out, it had been raining pretty good. You know, it had been raining about all week, I reckon about 5 days in a row. And I went out, the creeks was getting pretty high up there, but they wasn't flooding their banks or anything. And I was out there maybe an hour and 45 minutes or so. And I come back, and it just looked like lakes out through there on both sides of the road. And I knew then that there was going to be some flooding. And that was about, I'd say I come through there probably about 2:30 back through, coming back to the plant. And so when I come home from work, I didn't come here home. I just went on down to the river and was checking the river, see how fast it's coming up. I put a stick down, and it was coming up just steady coming up on the stick when I was watching it. And I knew then it was going to flood. And when I was going to run to town, my brother and sister-in-law lived down in Pulp Mill Bottom in Parsons. And I come up over the hill out here, and I seen Bobby Spawnall, and I asked him if he'd seen the mayor, and he said he hadn't. I asked him if he'd call the mayor and get him to evacuate them people down there. And he said he would, so I come on to town. And when I come to town, I called the emergency squad and tried to get them to evacuate people. And they said they was out other, like a moor in places trying to get people out where they wasn't really worried about the big rivers, just the small streams they said was flooding. So I went on over to Pulp Mill Bottom, and I told my sister-in-law and him about it. And her husband kind of laughed at me. She said when I left, he kind of said, well, the water ain't getting up here. He just kind of laughed at me. So when I left, I come on back up Hendricks, and then I seen the water was coming up in the streets then. Well, it was up where the Hick Fairground was, the water was. And I'd asked the deputy sheriff, that was Hank Thompson, Jim Blosser, he was a foreman and a chief, I reckon he was chief foreman, was down there. And I asked him if they'd got my uncle and aunt out of their house. They lived on the lower street there, right next where Blackwater comes into Dry Fork area. And they said they didn't. So I told him I was going on down, and they told me they'd get down with me. Jim and Hank did. So I told them to walk on one side of the street, and I'd go on the other side, and we'd clear, see if to check the rest of them houses up there and make sure there wasn't anybody else in the rest of them. So we walked up there and was checking them, and they got down there, and we could see there was already some people trying to get my uncle and aunt out of their house, and there wasn't nobody in them other houses. So I started to cross the road, and I was wading water probably up to my chest and when I crossed the road. And we got across, and I knew it was too deep to for her to get out because she's got arthritis and stuff real bad, and she hadn't been very well. And I knew we couldn't walk her out in there. That water's just blue cold. And so I asked him if he had a rope, and we'd go out and I'd try to tie a rope to a pole and take it across and tie it to another house where we can grab a whole rope and take ourselves across on it. And I got a rope out, and I went out and tried to go across it. And shoot, I hit the middle of the street, and the water just took me. And I pulled myself back up with the rope, and I told him, I said, we couldn't get out. So my father-in-law was a state policeman, so I wanted to call the emergency squad and see if they'd pass me into him and maybe get a boat into us. So I tried calling the emergency squad, and they wouldn't let me talk to him. Said that they was busy over there. And I asked them if they'd get a boat into us, tell the fire department get a boat into us, because there wasn't no way we could get out. And the water was coming in the house then. It was just barely coming, skim layer coming over the floor. And so we waited there a while on them, well, about as long as we could, and the water come up in the living room, and it was coming up pretty close to the phone. I thought, well, if I'm going to make another call, I better try it, see if the phone is still be working. I picked it up, and it was still working. So I made another call, and I told them that there wasn't no chance of even getting a boat into us then because there was too much debris and stuff coming down the river. There was buildings and everything else, trees and stuff coming down through there. So I asked them if they'd send a helicopter into us to get us out because there was eight of us in the house. And they said that they couldn't get a hold of it. They couldn't pass me through my father-in-law or nothing because they was all busy and the phone lines and everything was tore up. She said she'd call me back. I told her, I said, well, you'll not call me back on the phone. I said, it's just a wonder it's working now. And it went dead on us then. So I knew then that we had to get upstairs, get out of the water. So I took and helped my aunt upstairs and then told the rest of them to come upstairs. And when we went upstairs, we put her to bed. And I seen, you know, the water, there wasn't no chance for us getting out. So I just asked them all if they'd come into one room, we'd have a word of prayer. So we all come in one room, and I asked them to get in a circle, and we grabbed hands, and I prayed for them, prayed for all of us. And wasn't no sooner I said amen, boy, heard kaboom, and underneath of us, the old house started shaking, and hear a building or something come through the side of the house, right where underneath where we're standing. So we took her over and put her in another bed, my aunt over and put her in another bed in another room, and then we all went in over in the other room. And then about every 20 minutes or so, we'd go over in the one room where we were standing, where it had a window where we could look up to see the people was trying to get us out of it. And I had a flashlight where I'd keep flipping at them and let them know we were still in there. And we went back, and I just figured myself in. The water was, it was way up in. I could reach out the window, and the water would hit your hands from reaching out the window, the upstairs window. So I just, you know, I figured that we was going to I figured the river's just going to take us down. So I took and went, and I knew, you know, that if them fellas wasn't right with the Lord, you know, and they'd be killed that night, I just felt the Lord would hold me responsible for it, you know. So I went, and I asked went and took the fellas off by themselves one-on-one and asked them if they'd been saved. And Hank told me he never, and he kind of broke down. He told me he'd like to be, so I led him in a word of prayer. And I just went to teach the other ones. And Jim Blosser, the fireman, and he wanted me to pray for him, so we took, and me and him went together and off and prayed. But the rest of them, they didn't want to say they wanted to be saved, but they asked me to pray for them, and maybe every 10 minutes or so, one of them would ask me to pray for them. So it was going, you know, the house was staying pretty good. You could hear stuff smashing into it and roaring. Just sound like a train coming through it, just a steady roar. And you couldn't hear. There was two boys across the street in another big house that come down. They tried to bring a boat to us, one, two farming. And I told them to get in that other house across the street from us. And they was pretty safe. It was a big old house. Excuse me. And there was another house blocking the debris from them. And it was just right across the street, and they couldn't holler. We couldn't holler and hear each other. So we went in, and I knew that the water was deep and stuff, but the house, it was staying pretty good. And then it started raining a lot harder. I reckon it's about 11:30, 12 o'clock. And the house started shaking a lot. There was trees. You could hear a lot of trees and stuff coming down, going through it. And something come in the other end of it where we was in that one room was behind us. It sounded like trees stuff coming through there. And the house started shaking really bad then. The windows started rattling and everything. And I figured that was the time the house was going to go then. And so I just started praying so hard and everything. And I just started getting scriptures back. It was in the Bible about faith. And I just tried to block everything from mine and just have faith in the Lord. And the old house quit shaking. It wasn't no sooner than I quit praying, the windows stopped shaking. The water kept raising, but the house stopped shaking. And I reckon we sat there about 1 o'clock in the morning. We had a Coleman lantern keeping us warm. We all had blank. Well, I was soaked. I was coming across the street and something come down through and knocked me down. And I went in clear over my head. I was all wet, so he gave me a blanket to wrap around me. And the rest of us had blankets there. We just all pretty cold from being out in the water. So we just laid there with that Coleman lantern, and I'd go to the window, and they tried to bring I heard a loud noise, just like a roar, and I knew it was something they was trying to bring in to get us out of there. Then it was the big loader, and all them guys, you know, was hollering that we was going to get out, and I thought, you know, maybe they'd get us out too. And then I seen it was a loader, and I told him, I said, they ain't gonna get nothing down here with rubber tires on. I said, it'll get down. But that guy wouldn't quit trying. Every time he'd try there, you'd see the loader start to go downstream. And they just backed up and give up. And, you know, they give up on the loader, but I reckon they just kept praying for us. But the water receded then, and it kind of quit raining, and then the water started going down. And the next morning, I was getting daylight then, and the water, it felt like somebody pulled the plug on a bathtub or something. The water went out so fast, and it went down, and then they brought a canoe in and got us out with the canoe then. They brought some boys down there with a rope, and they took us out in the canoe. But it was something. I don't care to get through it again.
Are you preaching?
No. I go to the First Baptist Church in Parsons. Boy, if we're Christian people.
But you said that you felt the responsibility for the souls of those people was on you.
Yeah, I felt if they didn't know the Lord, if they haven't heard the word, it was my job to minister to them, to go and talk to them about it, because I knew it as, because I'm a Christian, that I knew the way to be saved. You know, the Lord tells you to come on to me, you know, through my Son Jesus Christ, and accept Him. You know, you will be saved. And that's what you got to believe. And I feel if I wouldn't have done it that night, and they'd have died, and they wouldn't have known Christ, they'd have went to hell and have been on my head.
How long have you been a Christian?
Since I was, I reckon, 18 years old. I'm 24 now, so I've been about 6 years.
What was your own salvation like, or conversion?
Well, I used to do body work, and me and another fellow, I used to work a garage in Parsons at Lambert Chevrolet. And this other fellow, he was a carpenter, but he had a garage he built, and me and him used to do work on the side. And he was a Christian, and he'd talk to me all the time about going to church. I went to the Methodist church, but I was far from being a Christian. I just went to church more or less to be there. But I didn't have the understanding, and didn't have the Lord in my heart then. But he talked to me, ministered to me a lot, and they had a prayer chain going then. I didn't know about it then. I just found out about it here just a few months ago. But he and these other fellas, they got together, and they was praying for me. And of course, I didn't know it then, but I was down one night working on him and working on a car for him. And we got to talking about it again. He'd come and talk about it. I'd talk about it to him, about being a Christian. And he was always trying to get me to come to the Baptist church with him. And so I was down there one night. He was telling me about getting saved. And it had been bothering me for a while, about if I would die, where would I go? And that night I was back there standing on the car, and I just got real hot. I started sweating, but I was, just cool. But I just felt real hot, and it was just like a cold sweat broke out on me. And I started shaking so bad, I couldn't even hold any tools in my hands. And I knew then, the Lord was calling me. So I told him, I said, I'd like to go up to church, up to the Methodist church I was going to at the time. And so he told me, he said, go ahead. He knew what I was going through, but I didn't know that, that he knew so much about it. But when I left, he went in the house and called the guys that was having the prayer chain, and he called them, and they got together and was praying again. And I went up and got the preacher out and told him I'd like to be saved. And he took me over and explained to me and prayed for me. And I feel in my heart that I was saved that night. The Lord saved me.
So it was just you and the minister?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In the church?
Yeah. Oh. I woke him up. He was in bed, I believe, and I got him out of bed. It was about 10:30. It's kind of a funny feeling, I'd never done that, just be going out and getting somebody out of bed and do it, But it's just...
You were in a state of spiritual crisis or something.
Yeah. Just a movement, you just can't explain.
Have you felt that power growing inside of you?
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems to me what you did over in that house that night was pretty amazing, because I know the comfort that you brought to Hank, for example. I know that, and he described his own conversion, and he described how it made his body feel different. I mean, he just felt completely different. He felt transformed.
Yeah. And well,
there's some kind of good. There was some kind of good juices flowing through you that night.
It's something, I was scared. I just got married, and I was, I thought that night that I was going to die, because the way the house and stuff was. And I didn't want to leave my wife just getting married and things. And I was worried about her, and I was worried about the other people in the house. But I wasn't so much scared as of dying itself, of just dying. But I was scared of if them other fellas would have died, where they was going. I was sure that if I would die then, I'd be with the Lord that night. But I was kind of scared of if, when we hit the water, how bad we was going to be tore up before we would die or something like that, or have to watch somebody else to die. I was scared of that. And I knew that the Lord was there, and he put the flood there, I'm sure that he could calm it, So it was up to him whether we win or stayed. But it was up to me whether them fellas heard the word or not. But I'm not a person that really go out and minister to people just to go out and be ministering to them. But that, I'm not afraid to talk about the Lord because I'm not ashamed of him, I love him. But that night when they started up the steps and I was helping her up the steps, you know, the Lord was just talking to me, you know, now you know, I'm leaving this up to you, you know, just putting it on my heart like I was the only Christian in the place, and that, you know, as far as I knew, I was. And I asked my uncle if he had a Bible. I just wanted to read some scripture and stuff at night. And he said, he thought he had one, but he looked for one. He couldn't find it. And that was kind of disappointing me because I was looking for something. But it seemed like the Lord, you know, the Lord was putting it in my mind out of his mouth to say it instead of me reading it out of the book. But a lot of scripture come back to me. I read my Bible a lot, but I can't remember scripture a lot. But it come to me that night, different things.
Is that maybe a sign to you that you're going to be called to do more preaching and more ministering? Or?
Well, I don't feel that I could be a preacher, but I wouldn't stop anything that the Lord had me to do. You know, he's put me up there to work up at the power plant. If he don't want me there, you know, I took tests for another job here. It wasn't too long ago, but you know, I just put it in the Lord's hand. I just prayed about it and said, if you want me here, put me here. If you don't, then I'll stay where I'm at. And he's put me where I'm at. You know, I got a letter from another job that said the job has been filled, but they appreciated my, you know, time and effort of coming down here and calling on it. But the job I got's okay. You know, I like it pretty well, and it's a good, it's something you can look forward to in the future. But if the Lord would call me to do something, I wouldn't stand back to wait for somebody else to do it.
What did you see when you got back to the bank? Had other people been praying? Had the community turned out there long?
Oh, down here? Yeah, my wife, she said that. Well, I was worried about her that night because I was afraid maybe she'd tried it something, you know, kind of stupid, try to get down there to us somehow or something. And she'd come home and went to bed. She said that she'd prayed, and the Lord just put it on her heart that I was going to be okay. And she said she just went to sleep, just wasn't very long at all, and she was sleeping. She's just sleeping good, you know. And the Lord was taking care of her the same time he was taking care of us, you know. He was just easing her mind. And when we got out, the people met us up there. And I felt more emotion on me then. You know, I held myself pretty good down there. Well, I felt calm and in my heart and the will to talk to those other men, the other people down there. But that morning when we got out, just felt like, just broke loose, you know, just felt like a lead balloon hit my heart or something. I just let go then. But it just seemed like it scared me then worse than it did when I was in there that night. But the people never stopped trying, you know, trying to get down to us that night. I found out later, you know, that it was people trying in boats and everything else to get down to us that night to get us out of there. But if that was the only way, if those two was the only two saved down there that night, maybe the Lord saved them. But that was the only time they could have been rich. Maybe if two souls are saved out of the flood, you know, maybe it's worth it. But it's awful. But I think the people should open their eyes to the things that is going on around them. That the Lord is. I think he's, you know, people are going too much of an ease. I feel that the Lord, you know, is showing us he's still in command. You know, he can put that rain here, or he can dry it up, or he can cause an earthquake, whatever it is. You know, and time, I feel that time is growing short. Well, the Bible tells you that things will happen at these times. But people should stand up and take note and take a look at what is around them. I know a lot of people got a lot of things, you know, people never got their loved ones or their selves killed or hurt in it, but they lost everything. Maybe they hold a big grudge for it, but they're still here. You know, they're living. There's a lot of people that just like to be here, you know, that people in these big cities and stuff sleeping on the streets and what have you, but people around here, they're, you know, maybe they don't have all that much money, but they're living pretty good, and the Lord tells you to live day to day. Don't look for the things, riches for tomorrow and things like that. To live for the day, live for me, he tells you.
How's it been for you since that night? Have you thought a lot about it?
I think it's made me stronger as a Christian, because in church, stand up and give them a testimony. I'd stand up and testify a little bit, but not like I will now. You know, the Lord's kind of opened my eyes and opened my heart to it. You know, you went through this, you know. What can be the most that something can happen to you, you know? If you stand up in church, there ain't going to be nobody send a flood on you there in church, you know. If you got something in your heart you want to say, stand up and say it. You know? If you want to say something to people, say it. Do what you want to, you know, do what if you feel right to do. Don't hold back and wait for somebody else to do it right. Take it on yourself to do it. I feel it's made me stronger.
Have you worried, though, or dreamed at all about the flood, or do you fear water in any way?
No. I always swam. I swam, you know, around here in the summertime. That was all for us to do as kids, you know, go swimming, fishing, things. And I'm not afraid of water or anything like that since. And I haven't had no dreams or anything like that about it. I've worried a lot about the other people that's been in it, that, you know, the people that hadn't been rich, people that hadn't reached out, can't reach out to them, you know, and talk to them and help them, like my aunt and uncle down there now. They bought another house, and he's 76 years old, and they're fixing that house, needs quite a bit of work done to it. And I've been going down the evenings and helping him. And if it wouldn't been for me, he had another fellow down there, helped him one day, and he was kind of a drunkard, and he had my uncle to give him some money, and then he left and never come back. But if, you know, the people, I can go down and help him, and I don't mind doing it. You know, I wouldn't take any money from him from doing it. I just love to help him. But the old people like that, that don't have nobody to help them and don't have nobody to talk to them, you know, how are they feeling about it? That worries me a little bit.
Have you